So several years ago, I got the name the Delegator because I was always good at finding somebody else to fill in, and I failed. So next time you see Kyle Killo, let him know Monty's not the perfect delegator. But I do have a much better appreciation for Kevin. So when Kevin gets back, be sure and tell him we appreciate him. Kevin usually uses his tablet. So I got my tablet out and a pen, and I wrote a lot of notes. And I'm really hoping that this will be two lessons. Not because I have so many notes, but I'm hoping this is my first and last. You know, in the Old Testament, we read about all the great things that God did for his people. And then shortly after that, we read about the failings of the people. You know, they get in a bind and they turn back to God, He builds them out with some miraculous thing, and next thing we know, they're right back worshiping idols. And we see this over and over all through the Old Testament. Starting in Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 21. And when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians went marching after them, and they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Jason, just for you, buddy. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh and the chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud of the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and it made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them to their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them, and to the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire of the cloud looked down and on the Egyptians' forces and threw the Egyptians' forces into a panic, clogging their chariots' wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, and for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course. When the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea, and the water returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so that people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And then just a short time later, in chapter 32, then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writings were the writings of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hand and broke them in the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them?" So that's the first examples. And as we go through the Old Testament, we see many more of those. And we look at those people and we think, man, how stupid were they that they never learned? But this happened over several generations. In Matthew, or in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 4, now this is the commandment, the status, and the rules that the Lord your God command me to teach you, that you may do them in the land of which you are going over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and your sons' sons by keeping all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord the God of your fathers has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you do today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house or on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God, you shall fear him. You shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. And then we'll go to Matthew 22 and 34 through 40. I don't know if I said it right. I didn't think it right. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is a great commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Our God wants us to keep him first in our lives. We might not have golden images to worship, but we do keep him. First in our lives, he is the first one we think of when we wake up, the last one we think of when we lay down. Do we talk to our children about our Heavenly Father every day? Do we realize that everything we have comes from him? You know, when the Twin Towers were crashed by the airplanes, 9/11, and a lot of people lost loved ones, and we heard people talking on the news about praying, and people gathering together and talking about God, and how long did it last? Are we really any different than the people of the Old Testament? When Melanie and I were living in Texas, the last year we were there, it got pretty dry. And I ended up weaning my calves in May and supplementing them. And the cows could make it without the calves sucking them, and I had a pasture that had good water in it, but there was no feed left in it. And so I opened the gate between the two pastures, and the other pasture had good feed, but the water was real low. And one day I went out to check the cows, and and I found a cow in the pond that had gotten pretty low, and she's bogged down, and she was stuck and couldn't get out. And so I went and got the tractor or skid steer or something, and we got her pulled out of there and pushed her away from the pond. And a few days went by and things were good, and then about a week or so later, I went back over there to check on things, and the same cow was stuck in the same pond, and this time she had drowned. And I thought, you stupid cow. And I just pulled her out of the mud, and she went right back in it. I was telling a neighbor about it, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, I think that's the way my Lord looks at me sometimes. And I thought, yeah, me too. And, you know, sometimes as parents, we see our children make bad choices, and we can be disappointed in them. But maybe before we talk to them about the bad choice that they made, we should ask ourselves how many times we have disappointed our Heavenly Father. Maybe sometimes not knowing at the time that we were, and other times knowing that we should or shouldn't be doing something, or maybe doing it out of anger and thinking after, it's too late, I should not have reacted in such a way. We all fall short. This next deal I'm going to read is not something that I wrote, but that I thought was pretty good, and I don't know who wrote it. So, as a rancher, we will gather an entire herd of cows off of short grass and point them towards a narrow gate to the tall grass. We might yell and call stupid cow at the ones that turn back at the gate and run back to no grass at all. But when Jesus is standing and holding the open gate in our lives, do we ourselves ride through and see the plan and purpose God has for us, or do we play stupid cow? The gate is still open, and his name is Jesus. Let's turn to John 14 and 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I know a lot of you have been around cows a certain amount, and it's always much easier to drive cows in a group than it is to drive one cow. And here, just a couple of weeks ago, I found one of my cows on the mountain by herself. And I drove her out, and she got to where she had came in to that part of the mountain, because she was not actually on my permit, but on Kirk and Brooks' permit. She tried to go back to where she came from, because that's what she knew. And I got her turned, and she drove pretty good until I got down to an area that she hadn't been in before, and then she did not want to go. And if I could have told her, look, I'm taking you home with all your friends that are already there, You know, she probably would have went pretty easy. And sometimes I think there we're kind of that way, you know. If we could know what God's plan is for us, we would probably go through a lot easier. You know, we find it easy to talk to people about things that we know and we agree on. But it can be hard to talk to people about things we're not sure how they believe, or we know they don't believe the way we do. And now I'm going to read another little story. And this one was wrote by Jeff Hildebrandt. Rhonda will like this story. For those who've never trained a horse, there's something you should know. It's about what's called the round pen. It's where most horses go to learn to follow signals through a tender teaching touch. But horses in the round pen can only learn so much. But pretty soon a cowboy needs to let the pony out so it can use what it's been taught, because training is all about just getting ready for the ride and knowing what to do when challenges and obstacles pop up in front of you. Like ponies, we can study until the cows come home in the safety of our round pen, but really we should roam outside our Bible study group, outside our church walls, and use our training where it counts, in grocery stores or malls, or at the doctor's office, or any other place where we can show God's saving love and talk about his grace. But I'm just like a fresh broke colt that shivers at the thought of leaving comfort zones behind. I'd really rather not put my faith out on display where others criticize, so I seek incognito ways I can evangelize. I can talk about the weather, TV shows, foreign aid. I can argue over politics or the latest sports team trade. But when it comes to life and death, I seek my comfort zone, because there's no confrontation in my round pen all alone. But God's word says to go and do, so I must get a grip. Security's not the round pen, it's in relationship. The closer that I get to God, the more my faith increases, and when I leave my round pen, I won't go to pieces. I'll walk and talk with confidence about my transformation since I accepted Jesus Christ, the gateway to salvation. I know that God is faithful, and with him, I'll succeed, so let's all leave the round pen with Jesus in the lead. Now we'll turn to Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So let's all talk to you people and take others with us. You know, a lot of times I'll have people ask me how I'm doing, and a lot of times I'll answer them better than I deserve. And I think most of us probably fall in that category. I'm thankful for my parents and for the way that they brought me up. I'm thankful don't know why, as I get older, I turn to a big baby. Tough little boys grow up to be big babies. I'm thankful for my wife and for always being there for me, for the little things that she prints off and leaves at my spot at the breakfast table, trying to help me be a better person. I'm very blessed with a great family, even though as our children were growing up, I made a lot of mistakes. But I think they turned out pretty good. And I'm especially thankful for my grandkids. They're really good. But don't ask Desiree why. If there's someone that you've been thinking of that you need to talk to, please go talk to them. Invite them to come to church with you. The real preacher will be back next week. If there's anyone here that needs prayers, we invite you to come forward as we sing the invitation, or grab someone, ask them to pray for you. Or if there's anyone who would like to put their Lord on in baptism, you're invited to come as we sing the invitation song.